It's time now, one of our favorite times of the week, to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. It's brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett and White, the professional builder's choice. Bruce, good morning.
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, fellas, how are you?
We're doing great. And by the way, you tweeted this morning.
Yeah, I've been tweeting.
Yeah.
I'm a twit.
All right.
I'm an accomplished twit.
Are you? I hope so. And for some reason, I saw it this morning, and I was impressed.
I'm getting the hang of it very slowly.
I was impressed. Bruce, we talked a lot about an emotional day today for Barry Zito. And as I said, I've been through a few of them, but I don't know if I've been through one as emotional as this one may be because of Barry Zito's connection to the area, to the fans, and his father's connection to Barry and the fan base. He was always available. This morning you wrote a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful story about Joe Zito, which I wish that you could share with the fans today.
Well, it was I really had the privilege of spending a fair amount of time with Joe Zito and Roberta, Barry's mom. Barry and I had a lot in common because we came from musical families and we grew up in Southern California. My dad was quite an accomplished musician who worked with Nat Cole and everybody under the sun, really. And Joe Zito also worked with Nat Cole, arranging, conducting. And his wife, Roberta, Barry's mom, was a backup singer touring with Nat. So, I mean, I'm hitting the ground running when I walk into their living room, and we don't even talk about Barry or baseball for like 2 hours, you know. But I got a real sense of Joe Zito's background, trained in classical music, trained to be a hard worker and to be creative, and he built this pitcher named Barry Zito out of the power of positive thinking. He built a mound in his backyard. From the age of seven, Barry's out there every day throwing, and I mean every day, winter and summer. He would pitch a simulated six-inning game before he'd take the mound in a Little League game.
Wow.
And this is all stuff that Joe Zito gleaned from reading books, videos. He enlisted the help of Randy Jones, a great San Diego pitcher, and they just crafted this masterpiece in private. And, you know, his mom said Barry is throwing that curveball when he was eight. He was throwing the 12-6 curveball, you know. But the main thing I got from it as it relates to Zito more recently is that both of his parents were extremely strong on positive thinking, you know, to a real spiritual sense. It was the very core of their whole existence. They had to feel that way because Joe gave up his career, basically, to work with his son for 11 years on pitching. And we obviously know what Barry went through with the Giants contract when he hit rock bottom, when he was left off the roster, when he couldn't walk around town without people, you know, sneering at him or making some snide remark. And it was that power of positive thought that got him through that, gets him through everything, gets him through pitching in the big leagues without a fastball. And like his dad, the guy is a true original.
Very good call this morning, Bruce, and well said, man. And Barry Zito, I think for a lot of professional athletes, especially at this level, you have to be a little selfish, right, to maintain the focus that's required of a job with this kind of scrutiny. And you talk about his parents and how they impacted his life. And I'd like to compliment my friend Michael Urban, who wrote a book about the three aces in Oakland.
Yeah.
He told a story in that book where he was talking about in high school, I think we all kind of want to get away from our parents and hang out with your friends. It's more cool to do that. And Barry and his mom had a thing on Friday nights. They'd go to movies together, and she asked him, "Hey, Barry, I'm sure you're going to want to go hang out with your friends now on Friday nights." And Barry just very sweetly grabbed his mom's hand and said, "No, my Friday nights are spent best with you." So he's a real unique human being, especially as a professional athlete, Bruce.
Absolutely. Yeah, Michael Urban's a great source on Zito. They're very close, and Michael knows him as well as anybody. But I don't know if selfish is quite the word, but it's staying sort of within yourself. That's a real cliche, but you know, he had to go through so much and to continue believing in himself. And if you remember the show that Showtime did on the Giants after they won the pennant, I forget what they called it. But they were in the locker room and they were going into the private lives of all the players a year after they won the 2010 title. It was really a good show, I thought. And the one on Zito and his dad was incredibly touching. You know, Joe was not well, and Barry was doting on him, and you could see the love between them. Very, very touching, and I was thinking of that when I tried to imagine Barry finding out that Joe had passed away. He lived a good, long life. He was 84, but, you know, it's a devastating thing.
Yeah, beautiful story, and if anyone missed it, SF Chronicle, SFGate.com or in the San Francisco Chronicle this morning. Bruce did that. I remember that show. It was on Showtime.
Yeah.
I think it was called How to Mess Up Your Spring Training.
Well, exactly. Right. I hated the idea of just, you know, all of a sudden everything's in focus. They're in the locker room.
Right.
And I think they did a good job, but they also didn't win it again. I don't know.
Yeah. How can we mess up your spring training and distract you?
Yeah.
By Showtime. All right. Hey, Bruce, this ball club, boy, the injuries just keep piling up. And now all of a sudden, you know, it's like one of those seasons. You turn around, it's relief pitching. Then it's a starting pitching. Now the outfield is really depleted now, and Torres got hurt last night.
Yeah, I kind of worry about Torres in general on the injuries. You know, he's got that sort of track star body and approach to the game, and it seems like little parts are, you know, go out on him here and there, and I think that's going to continue. I think it's a very big month, or God, hope it's only a month, for Juan Perez, you know, in center field. I think, you know, with Blanco has been great, really. Even if Torres were to go out, they could go with Blanco in left and Perez in center and hope nobody else gets hurt. But I think it's a real chance for Perez to show that these things that he's done, which have been pretty mind-blowing, you know, are for real and can be sustained. Whether he becomes the Giants center fielder permanently, I don't know about that. Pagan has proven himself in so many ways as a man, as a player, as a leader, and everything else. But I think it's fortunate that they got a look at Perez when they did, because just a month ago he was, you know, bouncing around the infield in the minor leagues. He was playing everywhere. He was a good player, but I don't think they thought he could bring as much as he has.
Well, we'll see. 26 at-bats doesn't give you much, but the defense is certainly a pleasure to watch.
Yeah, the defense is there. There's no doubt about that.
But, you know, you go through a season, at some point you say you don't want to be defending your world title with the Fresno Grizzlies either.
No, there's an element to this season that's getting to be a little disturbing.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with the team's character or their resolve or any of those things. They're just losing one player after another, and those things will happen. To a team, and sometimes it steamrolls. It's nothing you can really prevent, and it reaches a point where you're just strapped. And I really fear that this will be an ongoing thing, and it's really going to cost them.
Yeah, Bruce Jenkins with us from the San Francisco Chronicle, as he does Saturday and Sunday. Bruce will be back at the same time tomorrow. I was thinking about this last night, watching Torres go flying into third base and bounce along the infield there, and saw Crawford the other night going to second base, and he hasn't played since.
Godin getting drilled.
Oh. Well, can't guys slide feet first?
Well,
I mean,
absolutely.
Really. I mean,
absolutely.
Come on. There's just, you know, Ricky Henderson, he went in face first. Didn't he change? After a while, he didn't want to hurt himself?
Yeah, but one of I think the greatest pure base runner I ever saw, Maury Wills, who wasn't as fast as Ricky Henderson, but set the record with 104 way back in 62. I saw him routinely. He never slid head first, just ever. I mean, it was too dangerous, for the hands, for the head, for your chest. I mean, it's really a reckless thing to do. Now, sometimes it's the only thing to do, like sliding into home plate and showing only a hand as you go way out wide,
right.
You know, that sort of thing. But if you're only showing a hand, you're chances of getting hurt are a lot less. So I agree with you. I think it's not the way to go.
Yeah, I think the Diamondbacks, didn't they kind of make a nice gesture to a player from Arizona State who had slid into second base and ran into the shortstop or second baseman's knee, and he broke his back?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, scary.
And of course, sliding into first is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, unless the throw is high and you try to avoid a swipe tag, and you know that, and you go down low, and the swipe tag gets nothing but air. But otherwise, guys sliding into first as they try to beat out a hit, I've never gotten that.
Bruce Jenkins with Marty and Patrick on here around the Public House. Hey, Bruce, what would have been the worst injury for Bay Area sports fans last night? I mean, obviously, Torres going into third, trying to stretch a double into a triple. Or how about Colin Kaepernick?
I was going to say Kaepernick.
Zinging it up there at 87 miles an hour. Can you imagine what Jim Harbaugh was doing watching that last night?
Oh,
I mean, his chest must have been just thumping.
Oh, God, he whipped that thing in there. It was just a pee.
And, you know, there was a cameraman. Sergio Romo had to go over to his left to catch it, backhanded. The cameraman almost caught one right in the chest himself.
It's a good thing they didn't have one of the ball dudes back there catching it. It would have hit five people.
Yeah. Funny. Well, I'm looking forward to today's game to see what happens. Of course, the Marlins are a pesky team. And I say, Pesky, they're just playing better baseball right now, and the Giants are not getting it done with two outs, two strikes. They're running into outs on the bases, and at some point you have to be accountable, and you got to get it together. A lot of baseball left, but Bruce, Zito, Jacob Turner. Boy, the difference. Here's this Jacob Turner, ninth overall pick of the Tigers, traded for Anibal Sanchez, high school All-American, 22 years old against the 35-year-old. That's baseball.
You know what I've enjoyed with the San Diego and the Marlins in town is seeing, you know, these teams are not rich in veteran talent, and they're throwing out guys you've never really heard of. And, boy, a lot of them are awfully good. The Padres closer is a real interesting pitcher, submariner, but, you know, he's really been hitting his spots. The kid who pitched, was it Kohler?
Kohler, yeah. Right.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are good, you know, and they add to the fabric of the league. I have no idea what we're going to see from Jacob Turner, but you couldn't get a bigger contrast than this guy trying to revive his burgeoning career with another team after being a number one pick against Zito, who's been everywhere and done everything.
Yeah, you know? On the day that Barry Zito's got a pitch.
It's a great baseball thing.
It is. This is what makes the game what it is. It's a tremendous story. And one last thought, the shortstop, Hecheverria.
Yeah. Oh,
how about this guy?
Yeah.
And he's from Cuba.
Yeah.
And he came over in the Mark Burley trade from Toronto.
Yeah.
Josh Johnson trade. This kid's got his tremendous range and great hands.
You know, it's so funny. We heard so much about Jurickson Profar heading into this season as the number one prospect in the game. And there's probably been six shortstops who have been more impressive than he has been also coming into the game.
Funny.
And it's just, man, one after another. It's really impressive.
Good story. Bruce, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good afternoon.
Right on, Bruce.
You bet, fellas. Talk then.
All right. Boy, what a pleasure, huh?
Yeah, always good. And once again, Marty, let me reiterate, if you haven't picked up your green sheet today, the Sporting Green, you got to read the 3-Dot Lounge. Bruce did it again, or just go to sfgate.com. Very good stuff.